Here's a reunion I'd like to be at. Stephen Colbert, Steve Carell, and Jim Belushi will be among dozens of Second City alumni gathering in Chicago this weekend to celebrate the theater's 50 years of funny. The first Second City performance took place a half century ago. NPR's David Shaper reports on how a little storefront comedy theater became one of the most influential in the nation.
What's most impressive about walking into the Second City's small lobby are the walls. You go up the stairs toward the bar, and the walls are full of pictures depicting five decades of Second City's comedy.
We come over here to this wall, this is sort of where it starts.
Second City owner and executive producer Andrew Alexander shows off pictures of casts and skits from December of 1959 through today.
You see a ton of great people, Fred Willard, Robert Klein, David Steinberg, Mina Cole.
Hello, God! God, it's me, Noah. N-O-A-H, Noah.
That's Alan Arkin at Second City back in 1961. Arkin would go on to win an Oscar for his role in Little Miss Sunshine, playing alongside another Second City alum and one of today's biggest TV stars, Steve Carell. From the beginning, the Second City has always been an unparalleled incubator of talent. But serving as a Midwest farm team for the Hollywood and New York big leagues was far from what the founders planned. At the University of Chicago, they'd played in a comedy troupe called the Compass Players and wanted to capitalize on the growing counterculture movement.
Second City came out of the 50s when there was more of this conservative mother-in-law type comedy going on.
Chicago Sun-Times entertainment reporter Mike Thomas wrote the book Second City Unscripted. He says while Lenny Bruce, Mort Saul, Shelley Berman, and a few others took on the establishment with biting satire in stand-up, Second City's ensemble work was unique.
Nationally, for a long time, Second City was really the only place people could come to see and to be involved in this sort of satirical, improv-based comedy.
Improv is essential to Second City, making comedy out of a simple object shouted out by an audience member, as in this 1997 sketch with Tina Fey.
You have been listening to an excerpt of the Polynesian banana dance. And this is WBEZ Chicago, National Public Radio.
Wait a minute. Making fun of NPR is nothing sacred? At the Second City, no.
Well, we certainly don't shy away from controversial topics. I mean, that's often what's interesting.
Second City director Matt Hovde.
Second City has a great history of dealing with, you know, sort of edgy sexual issues and political issues and racial issues.
Hovde and others say the key to Second City success is to be both funny and relevant. And Second City performers do so relentlessly, 8 shows a week, 52 weeks a year. Owner Andrew Alexander says that Second City alum have not just gone on to success on screen, but behind it as well, as producers, directors, and writers. He says that's because Second City performers are creating and writing their own material.
Here you get to develop your own character. You really get a chance to really develop your point of view. So you become a multi-threat.
Many here cite the freedom to try new things and fail as a critical element to their success. Author Mike Thomas calls the Second City the Harvard of ha-ha. Tough to get into, grueling to get through, but potentially huge. The Second City brand has expanded far beyond the Windy City. Second City Toronto has been a fixture for close to 40 years. There are 3 traveling troupes that tour the country and a training center that offers improv classes to 2,000 students per session. It's all part of a growing $30 million comedy empire. But director Hovde insists Second City hasn't lost sight of its roots.
Night after night, live on stage, we put up, you know, a two-act sketch comedy review that's going to poke some fun at the way the world is. And it always comes down to that for us.
And that, he says, is how Second City plans to thrive for another 50 years. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.